Era una platosa también. Una platosa también.
El imperio lo sabe todo. Mañana, quizás soy otro Sean Connery o Steve McQueen. Yo soy otro Sean Connery o Steve McQueen. O Steve McQueen. O Steve McQueen.
That was Gomez, and you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Molawa'a, K284AL, Hala'iva, and it's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Robin and Paul, and on today's show, we'll give you some tips on selecting a Christmas tree, reconsider our fear of our local wasps, and discuss the what's, whys, and hows of FPJ, fermented plant juice. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with our fine sponsors.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods, located in the heart of Hanalei. Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Kauai Marine and Mower, located in Old Kapa'a Town, is proud to underwrite this KKCR program. Kauai Marine and Mower features Honda garden and lawn equipment and also Echo Power Equipment, 823-0556.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, systems, and setups. In the Puhi Industrial Park, Lihue. Family owned and operated, open Monday through Saturday. More information at 246-4769. That's 246-GROW and online at GardenIslandHydro.com.
Give thanks to the generosity of our underwriters, our listeners, the bounty of the land, the sun, the rain, and true friends, Robin.
Yes, Paul.
You are a true friend.
Indeed. Likewise,
brother. We're joined by another true friend in the studio, Mac. Thanks for showing up. And we're here as the Garden Island. We're here as the In the Garden on the Farm crew here on KKCR to share another beautiful day with you. We want to start off the show by giving thanks to folks who have contributed to the air conditioning fund here at KKCR. We are looking to replace our dearly departed air conditioner that keeps all the equipment here in the studio happy and long-lasting, free of trouble due to temperature and humidity. So we need to replace our AC. It's going to cost several thousand dollars, and we've raised some funds. We want to encourage folks to dial in or go to kkcr.org, and right there on the front page, you will see a donation link for helping us out. This is really a critical need. Yes, it's a bit stuffy in the studio. We can deal with that, but we're really thinking about the equipment in the long term. There's a lot of investment in the equipment. We got to keep it safe. So the telephone number to call, 826-7774. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., somebody will be there to take your donation. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you. Well, looking up into the heavens is where we like to begin with our celestial session. And I know, Paul, you were mentioning, are we in the Geminid meteor showers yet, or are we going to be getting there soon?
We apparently, the total active period did begin on the 6th of December, but the peak nights are coming up Friday, Saturday night, and Saturday, or I suppose it's the night of Friday night and Saturday. And the best times are after midnight, apparently, with meteor showers. I've got a bit of information to share here from the Bishop Museum Observatory, and thanks to them for that. This is one of Hawaii's best meteor showers, and it's going to be this month a bit challenged because we're just coming off of a full moon, so we don't have that dark sky happening. But for all meteor showers, the viewing is best after midnight. These meteor showers are repeating annual events, and they're caused as the Earth enters into debris left over from a specific comet, or in this specific case of the Geminids, an asteroid. As the Earth goes around the Sun, our planet runs into the same debris at the same time each year. That's why the showers occur at the same time each year. After midnight, part of the Earth that you are on is facing toward the debris that causes the meteor shower. That is why all meteor showers are better after midnight.
Oh, far out. Yeah, you know, I've been a big fan of the Perseids. Those usually come in late August. And then the Leonids, which just usually in late November, right before now. I didn't realize till today that the Leonids and Geminids were so close to each other.
Well, that's a good reminder for us to make sure that we add that to our celestial session in the coming year. Excited about 2015 coming and just buffing up this show as much as we can for all the listeners and just make it continue to be an essential resource of information for you. And we will jump right into the Hawaiian Moon of the Day, which is brought to us by the good folks at the Hanalei Watershed Hui in collaboration with many other organizations. And they present information in the Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, the 2015 edition, hopefully coming out really soon, probably already available. And today's Hawaiian Moon is La'au Ku Lua. This is in the second Anahulu, or the second moon month. And this is the second-to-last day in Poipoi, which is the second Anahulu. And La'au Ku Lua will rise here on Kauai at 10:10 p.m. tonight. She'll reach her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 4:32 a.m. tomorrow morning. And she'll set at 11:01 a.m. tomorrow. 74% of the moon's beautiful face will be illuminated, and the last quarter moon will arrive to us here early on Sunday morning at 2:52 a.m.
I do love this time of the month when that bright moon is big in the sky in the early morning hours to the west. You can still see it. I mean, pretty much lights the kitchen.
Yes.
Don't even need to turn on the light there.
Indeed, it is a wonderful sight. I was enjoying it last night, as I'm sure many of you were. The mana'o for La'au Ku Lua is it is a time that is good for planting mai'a, bananas, ulu, breadfruit, and other trees. It is also a moon recommended for harvesting plants to be used as medicine.
Cool. Cool. Well, in the biodynamic look at things, we are still in planting time. Exciting. Today, the moon remains in Cancer, a water sign, making it time to plant leafy plants. Thursday through Saturday, the moon will be in Leo, a fire sign, making it a good time to plant some fruiting plants. And Sunday through Tuesday, the moon enters its long stay in the constellation of Virgo, an earth sign, making it a great time to work with our root plants. So I know I did not get to the radish planting I wanted to. I kind of like to do some really exceptional radishes at this time of year, like the watermelon radish and the white icicle, and the green meat daikon is really a fun one. bright fluorescent green flash inside that one, and the giant luabua. It goes on and on. There's so many awesome radishes out there, and this is certainly a great time of year to get them growing with not much light. Radishes are fast growing, and you'll be having some produce to eat in really just a short time.
Yeah. Delightful, yum yum. So I'm thinking about those planting recommendations, Robin, and the stimulation of various parts of the plant. And I'm thinking about the fact that the Hawaiian manao for today is to be planting maya as an example. And in the biodynamic calendar, you have a leaf day. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So I'm wondering if I planted a banana on this day, if that would actually stimulate the leaf of the banana to be especially supported, strong, etc. It doesn't necessarily mean that it would diminish the fruit activity, would it?
I'm not sure. They do make their recommendations based on the organ of the plant that we use. Okay. And I'd say in the case of the banana, we mainly use the fruits, of course, but right. We also do use the leaves. But I remember from our banana conversation earlier this year, or whenever we had it, that the more leaves on the plant at the onset of flowering, the larger the rack you're going to get. So in that way, my mind can rationalize that today would be a great day for bananas all around.
Exactly. And especially given that we're troubled by many pest and disease problems, of course, with our crops and specific to banana, there is a fungal disease that often kills off the active leaves on a stem that has fruit on it. We've been experiencing that a lot in Kalihiwai. So it led me to think, if I'm working with one of those varieties that's especially challenged by that particular fungus, leaf fungus, if I planted a banana today, perhaps that would stimulate its ability to withstand the fungus.
Could. Moon in a water sign is definitely, there's more watery influences around, and part of that tells me that that might actually help the fungus more than harm it.
Yes.
Usually your dry days, which I quote, dry days are fire and air, versus the wetter ones, which are earth and water.
Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Lots of ways to look at it, for sure.
Right on.
But if you're going out to plant, do it. Do it. Don't hold back no matter what. That's my advice.
Yes, get those nursery plants into the ground.
Yes, indeed. Beautiful. As we'll see, the longer plants stay in the nursery, the more chances there is that something can go wrong. Well, on to some notable news. I'm going to stick with the theme that I started last week of Kauai news. Kauai news out here in the world. Kauai news not written in any newspapers or publications of any kind. I'm imagining that people have noticed the incredible amount of paper wasps that are milling around pretty much every building right about now under the eaves. I know my house, I spotted about 100 of them in just one, 50-foot range just the other day. There's a lot. They're enormous. They're really big. These are not babies. These are adults. These are adults, and they're mating. Ah. I actually witnessed the beautiful act, my very self, a few times already, because they're really going for it. And basically what's happening is they're getting ready to lay eggs and make nests, but they are not making nests when they're hovering and swarming around the doors and the overhangs of buildings. I've checked it out myself. There's absolutely no nesting activity going on yet. Mm-hmm. But once those females are nice and fertilized, you can bet there's going to be a lot of nesting going on. And as soon as that happens, as they do decide to lay some eggs, and they will hibernate, they will go to sleep, so to say, for the winter months. And you will notice, I guarantee it, right when that happens, you're going to start seeing the crab spiders. Because it's a very cool thing about these paper wasps. Now, there's like about four different kinds of paper wasps. I am not an entomologist, so hard for me to tell just with pictures on the internet, which ones it is that we have. Yeah. But I am certain that they are paper wasps. Which kind, I'm not sure. And basically, they prey on crab spiders for most of the year when they're around in the warmer weather. these paper wasps. And as soon as they go to sleep for the winter, that's when the crab spiders start coming around. So I'm asking our listeners to reconsider their chemical warfare on wasps at this time. You know, it gets a little unnerving trying to go in and out of your house, I understand. But really, they are really valuable predators of this terrible pest I consider the crab spider. I mean, once those wasps are gone, we'll be, you know, wiping off three crab spiders just to get in our car, you know, until the spring comes and the weather warms up. And I do want to say that even though the wasps might be a slight inconvenience temporarily right now, I personally think the crab spiders are worse in the long run, and that is because not only do they string up on their cars, but they love to string up on our fruit trees. And what do they catch?
The bees.
The bees are pollinators, and so they're really a terrible pest that way. And what we have here is predators predating other predators. So we have the wasps being the predator that predates this crab spider, which is a predator for our bees. And so let's keep the wasps alive. There's no need to be taking them out. And I also want to encourage people that when you start to see the crab spiders and they're forming up on your fruit-bearing trees, citrus, avocados, these often have a winter, early spring flowering. The bees are going to come on in full force to come and pollinate, and the crab spiders will start catching our bees and thereby reducing the pollination that's happening on our fruit trees. So when I don't like to let the crab spiders just have at it on the fruit trees, I do go, and I personally have been hardened enough to just reach in there with a gloved hand and just squish them in the middle of their nest. But if you're too squeamish for that, just get a rake or something and move them, although they're pretty fast. You'd think they were slow, but they're not. They're pretty darn fast,
sure,
those crab spiders.
They like to jump out of the way.
Yeah, they do, or they'll drop. As soon as you hit them with a rake or a broom, they'll drop, and it doesn't take long for them to get right back up to the tree. So trying to collect those and get rid of them. And I just wanted to bring that to attention of everyone, that we have these cycles that go on here, and not everyone notices, you know, when one disappears, the other one shows up. But having learned a little bit more about it, I see this interesting little cycle that the wasps and the crab spiders and the bees are caught in the web, so to speak.
And we were talking earlier before the show started about, we're trying to hit on that word that would really describe most people's relationship with the wasps. And we came up with the word fear. And fear is a very powerful emotion, of course. And it's too bad, because it really, to me, is indicative of the separation that we have with nature. I can imagine in other cultural contexts being introduced to the wasps at a very early age, and I'm certain that there are parents that do this on Kauai, but it's certainly not the norm, to be introduced as a child of, this is our friend, this is our ally. Yes, we need to respect them, and we need to give them their space, but actually, they're part of our family, and we care so much about them. Because they're just as important as we are. And I see them very similar to centipedes in the fact that they don't want to hurt us. And just a couple of days ago, I picked up one of these huge paper wasps that was in the seed bank. And it's completely docile. I wasn't near its nest. And I was able to just carry it outside and put it on the grass. And so, really, it's all about the kind of energy that we hold, not only with our stinging insects, but with our plants and the way we are with the people in our community. Is just, if we're coming from that place of peace and nonviolence and appreciation, then everything flows so beautifully.
Yeah.
So reconsider what we fear in life, and very easy place to start would be the wasps.
Yeah, well, Paul, that's part of why we love you, brother. You're such a brave heart. You're braver than I. I don't think I'd pick one up. I'm not there yet.
Try it. You'll like it. So in other notable news from the Hawaiian Islands, thanks to civilbeat.com, an opinion piece published just yesterday, Growing the New Generation of Food Producers. On-farm mentoring can help lower the average age of the Hawaiian farmer from 60 to 30 and sustain agricultural production. this opinion piece from Hawaii Farmer Union United Vice President and Legislative Chairman Simon Russell makes the case that establishing a state-funded grant and aid program that pays farmers to take the new generation of farmers under their wing to learn successful agricultural production can help to transition us from the situation we presently face, which is that our farmers are of retirement age and we don't have enough opportunities. We certainly have a lot of people who aspire, but actually getting out there and learning the field techniques, even beyond sort of the classroom trainings that we've done here on Kauai, but actually getting experience with a farmer who's time tested out there doing those practices would be such a benefit. In his article, Simon also focuses on the idea of zero import farming, which seems nearly impossible to us today as we depend heavily on machinery and inputs, whether they be organic or non-organic amendments to the soil, that kind of thing. But of course, this practice of zero input farming was sustainably practiced in the islands for hundreds of years by the Hawaiian culture, and then even post-European contact for a while. It definitely was very, very strongly on its own two feet.
So it can be done.
It can be done, clearly. The Farmers Union, the Hawaii Farmers Union United, has been working hard to influence state lawmakers to develop legislation and policy that will support small family farms and best management practices in the field. And this proposed mentorship program is the latest manifestation. Our good buddy Ray Maki is our island representative. We do have a Hawaii Farmers Union United meeting coming up this evening at the Anahola Clubhouse from 6 to 8:30. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but you can go to Facebook and search for Hawaii Farmers Union Kauai, and you'll get the information about that. And these are the kind of things, you know, when we think about how are we going to invest our tax money, investing it in our new generation of farmers and pairing them up with successful farmers certainly sounds like a good strategy to me.
Indeed it does. I couldn't agree more. Well, I am just going to do a really quick fresh pick because we have so many great things to talk about on the show today, but I have just can't help but mention how many oranges are at the farmer's market right now. I mean, every kind of orange you can think of, clementines, tangerines, mandarin oranges, navel oranges, which have their own unique flavor in the world of oranges, Kona oranges, that famous and elusive Hawaiian sweet orange, the Karakara navel, the tropical version of the blood orange. It goes on and on. They're so delicious. They're great juiced, just juiced, fresh eating right out of hand. God knows the holidays are coming up. Always a nice time to break into maybe a little mimosa, feel a little sweet. Orange zest has added so much flavor to my baked goods, and sometimes I actually substitute water or other liquids in the baked goods with just straight up orange juice. Amazing. You can make tea out of orange peels. It goes on and on. In the orange peel, in fact, there's something known as pectin we've all heard of. It's what makes our jellies gel. It's a bulk laxative that protects the mucous membranes of our colon. It's also thought to reduce cholesterol. And, of course, we all know this, high vitamin C, vitamin A, and beta carotene in those oranges. So I know there's been a lot of, illnesses cruising around. And one of the best ways, and where it's just so available to us, the prices at the market are really good because there's a glut. There's so many fruits. You can really walk out of the market having spent fairly little amount of money for just an amazing amount of fresh vitamins.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're lucky enough to be near or have a orange tree of your own or more than one, and you're there during the flowering stage, the beautiful scent of neroli, which is the essential oil derived from the orange tree, is certainly one of the most divine floral scents that I wouldn't really say is like a feminine or a masculine scent. It's just intoxicating, beautiful, and we do have essential oil producers here on Kauai, and on an upcoming show, I'm hoping that we can dive more into that great art of value-added production that we can do here on the island of Kauai and in the Hawaiian Islands is produce our own essential oils, valuable for perfume, valuable for medicine, just lifting the spirits. And if you get a chance, if you haven't smelled it before and you see an orange tree in bloom, go stick your head there is my recommendation.
Yes, and make sure you clear away the crab spiders first.
This is In the Garden on the Farm with your host Paul and Robin. We're here with you until 1 o'clock, at which time Tracy with... Or do we have Tracy this week? Or
I don't remember.
I think Cousin Rich is actually coming in to cover Kauai Vibrations. But we're with you here until 1 o'clock on KKCR. And we are doing our focus this month on the conifers. We did a bit of a dip into the diversity last week with all our relations. And this week, we want to share some information about growing your own conifers. And it's been an interesting journey for myself and Robin to try and uncover the information specific to Hawaii. Of course, there's lots of temperate information, but how much of that is really applicable? We want the information of Hawaii. We're always mindful of growing the right species and varieties to ensure that we're not perpetuating or even starting a new invasive species problem. We want to choose species that are well suited to our elevation, because if we're going to put the effort in, we want trees that will be successful in our area. And there really is a dearth or a limited amount of information when it comes to conifers. We spoke with arborists, we spoke with people in the nursery industry, and there just isn't a lot of stock out there, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of knowledge about conifers, but we've uncovered a few gems, and we'll share those with you right now. So just to start off, perhaps the easiest way to get some young trees of various species, we do have the benefit of the State Tree Nursery located in Kamuela. That's right next to Waimea in the uplands of Hawaii Island. And the State Tree Nursery pumps out maybe 20 different species of trees used in forestry, used for windbreak and other benefits, timber production, etc. They do have 8 conifer species: the Norfolk Island pine, the Tsuji pine, which we mentioned last week, which is the national tree of Japan and a sacred tree there, Mexican cypress, Monterey cypress, Italian cypress, the slash pine, Monterey pine, and the Podocarpus, which is one species in the genus Podocarpus. They didn't actually have the specific information of which species it is, but it certainly looks like a handsome tree. Of those plants, though, only a few of them are recommended at low elevation, which would represent most of the areas where people here on Kauai, at least, would be planting trees, and those would be thinned down to the Mexican cypress, the Italian cypress, and this Podocarpus species. If you want more information about the particular plants that they have for sale, I recommend an internet search for Hawaii State Tree Nursery. And then on that page, look for the windbreaks and distribution trees link to see the inventory. If you'd like to make an order, if you're on Kauai, you can call 274-3433. That's the local DOFA or Division of Forestry and Wildlife Office. If you're on Oahu, 973-9778. So that's one recommendation for planting material. Another recommendation based on internet search is a company I'm really excited to look more closely at their catalog. Sheffield Seed Company out of Lock, New York, has 307 species of conifer seed available, and over 1,900 species of plants altogether. But this is certainly the largest collection of conifer seeds in the United States that I saw available. And you can find their list at Sheffield's, SHEFFIELDS.com, Sheffield's.com. I do urge people to cross-reference the Hawaii Ecosystem at Risk website, which is found at HEAR.org, to see if any of these particular species are known to be invasive weeds. And the whole question of invasion is quite interesting, and maybe specifically, it's a bit of a subjective term again. So what makes an invasive species? And it seems as if some of the pine species that are planted at high elevations on Kauai that are being deemed invasive on the HERE website are being determined to be invasive, or they're sort of gaining that tag or that title because they're planted in forestry plantings way up in the forest where they're adjacent to native forests. So if there's any naturalization going on of these introduced conifers, it's going to be degrading that native habitat that's right next to it. So certainly if you're near a sensitive habitat anywhere in the world, you need to be more careful. If you're in the middle of a completely altered landscape, the chance of a plant actually becoming invasive is certainly much reduced. However, there are certainly no doubt conifers that have extremely assertive seeding and could potentially even become weedy within a non-native area. So again, the Hawaii Ecosystem at Risk website, HEAR.org, is a great place to look and make sure. If you're planting any exotic conifers, that you're not planting anything that could be a problem. And just one last note on that, just in general, if you're looking at a particular plant that is an exotic and there's some question as to its invasion possibility, if it happens to be a dioecious species, which means that there are separate male and female plants, and you only plant one, it's only going to be one male or one female, and the chance of it spreading would be impossible. So that would be a special sort of opportunity, perhaps, to plant a plant that you really don't know about, but you'd love to plant it because it has a particular quality. If it is dioecious, you're safe.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, I did some reading, and it looks like there's a pine that's sort of invading into Haleakala Crater over there on Maui. And, you know, pines were planted on the sides of the slopes of the crater. And as we all know, the ecosystem inside the crater is very, very fragile. And they are finding pine seedlings in there. It's a little bit troubling for some of the folks who are working on native plants. And in that area, like the Silver Sword and stuff. Well, interesting. I was prepared to talk mostly about Norfolks and Cook Pines because I think those are the ones that most people we find here at the nurseries. And we will get into more about where you can find these trees in case you're looking for a Christmas tree still. So some of those are available here on Kauai. We'll give you some resources in a moment. but basically, with recommended spacing, you can get about 1,000 trees per acre of Norfolks in the manner of a Christmas tree farm. So this is, you know, high production. You're not letting the trees max out to their potential 200 feet. 100 feet is normal. This is something we'd like to caution people. If you do, go and buy a little potted Christmas tree and you know, you live in like, say, a small subdivision, probably not the tree you want to bring out into the yard and plant once Christmas is over, because it will no doubt eat up the most of your yard and potentially your neighbor's yards too. although they are fairly easy to grow, they like moist, humid places. They don't love drought or flooding, so they're kind of right in between there. And judging on what I found out about Christmas tree selection here on Kauai, there's pretty much an entrepreneurial opportunity here. There really are not that many fresh-cut Norfolks available on our island. I made lots of phone calls yesterday and didn't really find a whole lot, but I'll share more of that information with you in a moment.
But there are some.
There are some, it's true. But it sounds to me like, given the huge import sales of Christmas trees in the Hawaiian Islands, this is definitely an opportunity for someone who has some space and the wherewithal and basically patience. And as I'll share with you in a little while, why you need patience to pull off those kinds of things. But they're fairly easy to grow. They don't have a whole lot of pests in the field once they're grown out. Most of the pests are nursery pests, so pests that are going to be affecting the trees at their very young stage, things like aphids, scales, mealybugs, root rot, sooty mold brought on by scales and aphids secreting their honeydews and things like that. So just an interesting plants, you know, really just can't caution people enough, though, to, like, don't plant them right next to your house. Really not a good place for these trees. It just isn't.
I'm going to be looking at the landscape differently as I go around Kauai now and see these Cook or Norfolk pines planted in those tighter communities, and just in many cases imagine, you know, the day after Christmas that tree or maybe a couple weeks after Christmas, that in many cases those trees were probably planted after the holiday season.
Yes.
Thinking they'd have a nice little shrub in the backyard.
You know, even after our conversation last week, my eye has become so much more keen to the large pines and trying to figure out, is that a Cook or is that a Norfolk? You know, trying to do my own identification, just looking around the island. And largely, I see way more Cook pines than I do Norfolk pines. Is that your experience too, Paul?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And again, we're just novices at making this identification, but it seems that that's the case, yes.
Yeah.
And I do, can I jump in and
please
mention it? A Christmas tree opportunity, if you happen to be on the North Shore, WIPA is very grateful to be celebrating the fourth annual Ponds Pines fundraiser. And this is happening Saturday and Sunday, this Saturday and Sunday, December 13, 14, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the location is the Ponds Pine Farm on Kuava Road in Kilauea, and these are Norfolk trees. I was delighted to speak with Susie this morning from Ponds Pines, and she confirmed that, yes, very little pest and disease problem with this particular plant. It's really just keeping on top of trimming them and robbing, or rather, harvesting the shoots, and Robin will tell us more about that process later. But to reserve a tree, then you can call Susie directly, and that's, I thought I had it, but it's on my phone, so if you all just pause just for 1 second here.
Also, was WIPA taking reservations for the trees as well?
Well, I asked Susie, she said go ahead and just call me directly. Her
okay
number is 635-0858. They have only a few trees left to reserve, but after they do the first cut, there may be some more trees available, so check back again if you happen to miss this weekend. But the trees going this weekend will be supporting WIPA's many wonderful events and projects. And Robin, I know that you were there down there at the Kala Fest.
So fun. Oh my God, what a great time. I love that festival. I love what WIPA's doing. They really know how to throw a party, and I admire that in people.
Yeah. Right on. Thank you so much to the whole crew out there. It makes our community.
Truly does. And if it's okay, I'd love to jump into how to select a Christmas tree.
Please.
Here on Kauai. Just to give you a little bit of history about imported trees. I said there's an enormous import sales. Basically, generally about 250 containers full of trees arrive from the Oregon coast onto the shores of the Hawaiian Islands every year around this time. And it was way back there in the late 1970s that we imported our first yellow jackets. That's, yes, the nasty, angry, not so friendly bees, waspy bee, hornet, whatever it is, something in there. Bad news for the Hawaiian Islands for sure, as over the course of these, 40 years, the yellow jackets have begun to prey on native insects, thereby reducing food sources for native birds. And in general, a pretty serious problem here. Unfortunately, there are still yellow jackets that are coming in, that are on the trees when they're being shipped, and the Department of Agriculture from Hawaii now insists that each tree gets shaken before it gets to get loaded on the container.
Okay, you gotta love that job.
Yeah, truly. Either manually or mechanized shaking of the tree. And so this is how we're doing it, folks. Yeah. Pretty interesting if you ask me.
But yellow jackets are not the only invasive pests coming in on those Christmas
trees. That's correct. In 2012, 30% of the containers, of those 250 containers full of trees, were rejected because of the quantity of slugs that were on these fir trees, generally fir trees. I know there's several varieties that are available. I'll generalize just for ease here, but slugs, not a good pest to be importing either. So really what we'd like to talk about is buying local trees and not supporting that. Now, I'm going to tell you that you're going to spend way more money on a locally bought tree, whether it's a live potted tree or a cut Norfolk. And I just ask you to, you know, once in a while we are asked to put our money where our mouth is. And I'd say suck it up if you really want to have a tree and pay a little extra for a locally grown tree, because the environmental cost of the long term of the imported trees is far more expensive, and you may not pay it, but probably your grandkids will. So just asking people to consider that when they're looking at trees. Now, I know it's something I've heard from lots of people. Norfolks just don't look like Christmas trees. I know they have a tropical look. They're totally different. They don't have that wonderful pine smell that we all love about Christmas trees, but you know what can I say? Get some pine essential oil and drip some on the branches of your Norfolk and pretend.
Or just rub a little underneath your nose.
Whatever you got to do. But I want to give you some sources. First of all, for some live potted Norfolk pines from 1 gallon to 5 gallon, approximately 2 feet to 5 feet high, available right now at Kauai Nursery and Landscaping in Puhi. Their phone number, and I'd call for availability with all that'll go for everybody here because they seem to be going fast. Their phone number is 245-7747. If you are in the Kauai Hau or Kapa'a area, we've got Growing Greens up there. I know they changed the name of their nursery now. Isn't it Makaleha Nursery? And they have just a few left. Again, 3 gallon Norfolks at around 4 foot high. And again, call for availability on those at 822-3831. Then in Anahola, we've got Auntie Carol, who's been selling trees for a few years now. I spoke with her this morning. She does not have very many trees left, and some of them are promised out already. So she wants everybody to know that she plants more trees every year because she can see that it's a good moneymaker at this time of year, and much better for our environment to have locally grown trees. She said often people gasp when she tells them the price of these locally grown trees. But again, when you think about the carbon footprint of shipping trees to Hawaii and then the amount of pests that can come in with them, Auntie Carol can be reached at 822-9122. And again, please call her for availability on trees that are available. And then on Kauai, potentially our oldest Christmas tree farm, I believe, or one of the oldest, I'll say, is Kalaheo Flowers over there on the southwest side. And they've been doing this for a long time. And I had an excellent conversation with her yesterday and found out that they, too, have a very limited amount of trees for sale this year. And a nice big tree, listen to this, about a 12 to 15-foot Christmas tree, which is, you know, very sizable, regular-sized football tree, Christmas tree, excuse me, takes about 5 to 7 years to grow up.
Wow.
So one of the nice things about the Norfolks that makes it a really sustainable business is that the stump will regrow shoots. Now, people like perfect Christmas trees, so the shoots must then be thinned, because if a nice size stump sends up 3 shoots, what you'll get are 3 lopsided trees. Where they were all touching in the middle, they're not as full. they don't look quite as good. Right. Some people who put their tree in the corner of the house, it doesn't matter to them as much, but they're
might even help.
It might even help. It might even be better. But they do take the time to thin, and this is an investment of time and energy. And also, she mentioned that as far as prices go, the manual labor of getting trees that size down and moved without them being damaged in any way is pretty big. So the bigger tree you want, you pretty much can expect that the price is going to go up. And not too many people are charging by the foot anymore because they realize that it is an expensive labor job to get these big trees down. She also has a very limited stock left at the moment. She's got some regulars she's wanting to make sure they're taken care of. They've supported her year after year. But she did say you can call for availability, and her phone number there at Kalaheo Flowers is 332-6300. It's also a florist, as you can hear by the name, and she does do wreaths. Both Norfolk and classic pine wreaths are available right now, too, and locally made and very, very beautiful.
Well, thank you for that survey of Christmas tree opportunities. And after focusing on the conifers, I have to say I'm just so eager for my next visit to Kokei'i. I really want to go up to Tsuji Grove. I really want to go up to Makaha Ridge and visit these various forestry plantings. Perhaps there are opportunities for gathering boughs and that kind of thing through the forestry department if you want to make your own wreaths, etc. Again, the forestry and wildlife office would be the people to check in with. And here on Kauai, again, the number there, 274-3433. We have a lot of timber growing here on Kauai conifers, and it'll be interesting in the coming years to see if we actually have an industry startup. We have a mill that's milling local lumber. One of the important reasons for using it would be in the creation of traditional hale with material all from Kauai. An important practice and an important opportunity as well. Yes.
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up the Christmas tree discussion, my research actually made me not want to get a tree. Personally, it made me want to get like a lime tree. And instead of, you know, a pine, just or having a tree in the house, even planting a tree instead for a Christmas ritual.
Yeah.
A tree that is appropriate for the backyard that you have. And, you know, I do want to mention, not so much from the nurseries, I'm sure they're pretty clean, but I know a lot of people keep a Norfolk in a pot, you know, on the doorstep year long, and then bring it in the house for Christmas. And I've had a couple friends now tell me, oh, the ants. So you really want to maybe take a large bucket of water and submerge your potted Norfolk to flush out or scare away or kill maybe an ant colony that might be living in there before you bring it into your living room. But it really did open my eyes to other options in the way of trees, and even a new ritual of, instead of cutting a tree, planting a tree. Mm. So, just a thought.
Thanks for that. Yeah. This is In the Garden on the Farm, and we're just finishing up our hour here. We're here on KKCR each and every Wednesday from noon to 1 with lots of information about growing plants successfully in a sustainable ecological fashion. We do want to encourage people to stay tuned for Kauai Vibration from 1 to 3, Shaka Kayaka from 3 to 5, and Kauai Surf Stories coming up at 5 o'clock. And right now we're going to jump into the final segment of our show, something that Robin is just bouncing up and down to discuss, something that she has practiced, which always gives it a bit more weight for us when we have personal experience. And Robin, juice it up for us.
I'm going to go right into it, into fermented plant juice. Doesn't that just sound great? Well, anyway, talk about zero input farming. Natural farming is in right in line with that. And you're looking around in your yard for things that can be used to amend your soil. And the Korean natural farming system definitely has some radical ways to put these things together. And one of them is what we call abbreviation FPJ, is fermented plant juice. And basically, you're fermenting a plant. And I'll just run down a little, because we don't have a whole lot of time, so I want to get the main information across, although you can look this up on the Hawaii Natural Farming website. Is there one of my all-time favorite websites also is SQ Worms, otherwise said as Squirms, and they have not only videos but recipes for all of these different preparations. But in FPJ, what you're doing are using growing tips of fast-growing plants. And some examples, I'll start with the ones that are considered primo and then move on to other ones. There's so many plants we can use, even ones we call weeds. But bamboo shoot being the definitely one of the highest of the high in the natural farming system. Banana shoots, equally good here. Sweet potato vines, lots of those around. Mugwort, another great natural farming plant considered to have really high energy for making preparations like this. But other options are purslane, watercress, angelica, beans, pumpkins, seaweeds, and just in general weeds growing around the yard. We do not want to use poisonous plants in these preparations. So if the plant has any kind of poison in it, please don't use those.
Because invariably you're going to be sipping it later on, right?
Well, you'd like to have the option. And also, if you might be spraying it on edible plants, you don't want to be secondhand that. So you harvest your plant material before sunrise. Now, in temperate climates, these processes are done only in the spring when new growth is happening. However, in the Hawaiian Islands, we're lucky enough to have new growth year-round. And the point of harvesting them before sunrise is that plants are in respiration mode and not in photosynthetic mode, which is during the daylight hours, due to the effects that these processes have on the plant chemistry. Chemistry that's going on inside the plant. You want respiration mode plants. So just before sunrise, and avoid harvesting after a rainfall. And don't wash the plants after you've harvested them, because what's happening is there's surface microbes like lactic acid producing bacteria and yeast, which are going to carry out the fermentation process that we're about to facilitate. So you don't want rain or your own washing to wash those away. You don't get as good a fermentation going on. You then chop the plant material and weigh the plant material that you have. And the point of doing that is you want to add an equal weight of brown sugar. Now, this can be carried out depending on what you're using in a 5-gallon bucket or something smaller. You massage the brown sugar and the plant together. If you're using a banana shoot or a bamboo shoot, the massaging can happen with something like a small sledgehammer. So this is, we're talking about some serious massaging here. Basically smushing. And then you pack it into a plastic or glass container, leaving 1/3 airspace at the top to provide oxygen for the bacteria to use. It's common in natural farming. The air is free. The bacteria need it. And you want to leave the airspace there. So however much material you have to choose a container that lets you have 1/3 of the top as airspace. You cover and secure the cover to keep out bugs and contaminants. You let ferment undisturbed for 3 to 5 days. And it's done when the plant material floats on top of the syrup. And what's happened is the sugar has broken the cell walls. And the cells can then ooze out their liquids. And often what's in this liquid are plant hormones, growth enhancers. After the syrup is there, you decant the syrup, straining it nicely. And what you do is dilute it 1 to 500 to spray on plants that are in the same growth phase. So you use shoots if you want to encourage vegetative growth in your plant of choice. You would harvest flowers if you want to induce flowering on the plant that you're going to spray it on, or you would harvest young or mature fruits to stimulate fruit growth if that is what you're shooting for. So like treats like. If you want to stimulate green growth in the plant, you use growing tips. If you want to stimulate flowering in the plant, you use flowers. And what we're doing here is harvesting plant hormones. It's fascinating. There's so much more to say, but that's a basic rundown. And on any of the natural farming websites, you can find lots more information.
Very cool. And you're using these processes.
Oh, I made a nasturtium one I'm very excited about because I've never seen aphids or thrips on nasturtiums. And so I have these great nasturtium plants, and I'm using that one actually as like minor pest control. It's really cool.
Excellent. Well, I was excited to jump in on the natural farming technique of applying lactic acid bacteria with you, Robin, at the seed bank. So we've just begun germination testing, and on one of our germination tests, we had lots of mold growing in the petri dish, and I thought, oh no, of course it's going to happen, and how are we ever going to make this place sterile? How are we ever going to have the protocols? And then I realized, oh no, we're going to do the opposite. We're actually going to inoculate. So instead, we sprayed, and it just so turned out that some of the germination tests that you did were the same accession or the same collection of seeds that Natalie had done earlier in the day.
Okay.
So I do have an A and a B test I'm spraying some of them with just plain water and I'm spraying some of them with the LAB serum to see if that lactic acid bacteria can inhibit the growth of the molds that would cause us problem in those germination tests.
Far out. Well, more on that later. We'll be able to give you some results next week. But for now, I think we've got some announcements before we got to get...
We do. Tonight is the monthly Hawaii Farmers Union United meeting. It's tonight from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Anahola Clubhouse. We'll be hearing from Jerry Hillstrom presenting on energy systems and greening the farm. Goran Radovanovich of Haleakala Solar. There's going to be an open group on member experience. And McKenna Andros discussing ag waste plastic recycling program operating on the west side. It is a potluck. It's quite a lot of fun. It's free. Hawaii Farmers Union United meeting. The Hawaii Tropical Fruit Growers is having their next meeting tomorrow, Thursday, December 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. And it's next to Kapahi Park up in above Kapa'a. It's a potluck. There'll be a tour, meeting and eating, and silent tree auction with the proceeds to benefit the group. You can call John at 635-2880 to get precise directions. There's also a program that Malama Kauai is bringing to us, Aina in the Schools Training and Kanui Kapono Charter School and Kanui Kapono School Garden Tour. This is happening this Saturday, December 13th from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Kanui Kapono Charter School in Anahola. This is a program of Kokua Hawaii Foundation, and they're presenting a standard-based garden program that's written for grades kindergarten through 5 and a standards-based nutrition lessons for grades 2 and 6. So this is great for folks who teach the keiki about gardening. If you want more information, you can contact Megan at 828-0685, extension 12, and you can also visit malamakauai.org. That's just about all we have time for today. If you want to hear previous shows of In the Garden on the Farm, you can go to kkcr.org, click the audio archive link at the top of the page, and you'll find our shows there. We want to thank the In the Garden on the Farm team, which includes our engineer Jack, our phone tech Mac, our webmaster Laura Christine, and our station manager Dean. Thank you so much for keeping us on the air, everyone. Really appreciate it. If you want your ag-related event mentioned on air, you can send it. Please send it a couple weeks in advance, if you can, to inthegardenonthefarm@gmail.com. And that does it for our show today. We want to invite you to join us next week. We're excited to be sharing some some holiday gift ideas for your gardening friends, along with some other topics. So please tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life, and we go out as we came in with Gomez. Please stay tuned for Quiet Vibration with Cousin Rich coming up in just a few minutes.